Books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rapp Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon, Hunterdon.com. Michelle Baracus, Joanne Cafaro are with me for workforce development over in Raritan Valley Community College. And Michelle just hit me right between the eyes with a correction to my statement. She heard 27 changes to a person's career, and I did some quick math. She helped me with it, and it was about 1.5 years per location, which is insane. Then we did the quick analysis, and Michelle, why don't you tell me about the do-it-yourself economy?
Yeah, so there's really a trend to a do-it-yourself economy, and some of the statistics that I've seen, some of the reports that I've seen have said 52 to 56% of our economy is going to be a DIY, a do-it-yourself economy by 2025, which means you're really talking about creating yourself as a brand and then marketing that, right?
Right.
So it becomes less about who you work for and more about who you are as a worker.
So each individual with a professional or technical skill technically is going to be their own LLC being brought into various locations to perform whatever great skill they have and deliver it to that location one time and then get out.
It's possible. That's yeah. And that's what we're really seeing more and more of a trend of. And you even see it in corporations.
Yeah. The funny thing, and I don't want to go too deep in this because it'll just take us off, is that I don't see the W-2 1099 struggle is halting that from really happening. Because we just had the change that they want to make to middle managers and vacation. We had 10 years ago the Microsoft suit where they had 1099 workers and they were being treated as employees and then sued. So that has to get figured out, and that's not obviously your role, but that's something that's got to get figured out in order for that to either blossom or close up. I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things about kind of the policies and the legislation that have not caught up yet with the reality of the economy.
Right. So that brings us back to it with the awareness of this do-it-yourself economy, that if you want to be viable for your entire career, you have to be a lifelong learner, which brings us back to your mission statement, right?
Absolutely. That really is the crux of it. It's not go and be done anymore. It really is about how are you going to continually improve and grow and market yourself, right? So whether you're doing it internally or you want to create your own business, there's this lifelong technology moves at a speed and it impacts every industry today. So that's really the mindset that you need to think about. As you're moving forward.
Right. So if I was going to be on top of my game, right? So I'm an LLC and I want to be smart about this and constantly be employable. What would be it would be generic, but what would be your layout for me and how I should be interfacing with workforce development? What should I be doing?
So I would say that, the importance of, I think, trade associations and business groups have never been more significant than they are right now, because that's really where you get what I would call the industry intelligence, right? We try to stay on top of what certifications are needed, what credentials are needed. They change and they can change in a year's time.
Right.
So if you're someone that's really thinking about how do I market myself, I think you need to get to know the industry and then you need to start really reading on where the industry is going, because, right. you know, really helping to project that for yourself will also help project your marketability and your technical skills training.
Right. And Joanne, does that apply the same
Absolutely.
Way for businesses as well?
Yeah. And I would say even do a self-assessment. You know, if you're deficient in an area and you don't know, you know, the basic Microsoft Office suite, right. I would upgrade your skills. You never know when you're going to need them.
Yeah. What about the business themselves? Most of, like I said before, most of these entrepreneurial companies, growth companies, are putting out fires minute after minute, time after time. They have no visual strategy. Vicky's probably nodding her head right next to me. That they just don't have a strategic plan.
Yeah.
Therefore, they don't know how to even at any given point in time to strategize their workforce and the skills that their workforce should have. So how do they get that out of their head? How do they get their...
Unfortunately, they usually don't know until they have a problem and they're putting out a fire. Mm-hmm. So getting ahead of it and really, I think, continual training,
right.
upgrading the skills on a year-to-year basis, not when you need it,
there you go.
But get ahead of it. I think that really, really helps.
Is there anything for the owners themselves to get themselves out of that mindset that you guys offer? Or is there something at the school?
So we've actually started exploring that. So, for instance, we had a program for salon owners that are with our cosmetology program on a specific business skill set. And it really had to do with communication and leading a business. And so we are looking more and more at how can we be a resource for industry, specifically small businesses in this area, right. not to compete with the chamber or the business partnership, but to really think about how to build those skills based on the knowledge that we have to be able to build the infrastructure.
Right. And then this is where you guys bridge over to the SBDC, right? Because that's where that's where some of those skills can be done for All right. So I'm sorry you had
a... No, I was just going to say, but Bill and I refer clients to Bill all the time. I had a small business person yesterday and he didn't even know about it. I said, you have to go see Bill. You have to, because he will help you.
I don't know how you guys have all this and it still doesn't get out, but man, it's a hidden gem sitting there. We only have a minute left, ladies. How do people get in touch with you? What's the best ways to find out more about these programs and the like?
So I would direct everyone to our microsite, the rvccworkforce.com. That'll give you – you can sign up. You can click on any one of our phone numbers or email addresses, the two of us here and the rest of our team, to be able to connect directly with us. That is the best way to get a hold of us.
Okay.
I would just like to add that we're offering in the month of June a number of free NJBIA computer training for anybody who's working 20 hours or more a week to sign up. We have Excel and Word and PowerPoint. So that will be on our website. I encourage you to check it out and come on down.
And I'm sure there's more than just opening the file, typing and closing the file.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
These are 8-hour, one-day intensive training.
All right. Take advantage of it. It's sitting right there. Pleasure to have you folks on. An hour goes by so darn fast, and before you know it, we've only scratched the surface. But I think we've told everybody that, A, you need to get prepared, and, B, you have an opportunity to be prepared. It's sitting right in front of me. So give these folks a call. Pleasure to have you on. Donna, as always, you keep sending me some great folks to talk with. Listen to RVCC. Thank you so much, folks.
Thank you.
All right. That is Michelle Barakas, and that is Joanne Cafaro, Workforce Development. Give them a call. Vince Arlino says, never say I should have. Start planning your future now. You have between now and 2025 to figure it out. You're going to change jobs, 11 times between now and then. So make sure you do it. All right, we'll have a great weekend. Please show up at Community Day, noon to 6 tomorrow. We're down there at the Flemington Fairgrounds. You've been listening to Good Morning Huntington on HuntingChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.com.
That and that, the mousse formula. If you're doing chocolate mousse or if you're making your tortoni, sauvignon, anything like that, vanilla mousse, orange. Nice thing with the mousse, you can add the flavorings, as with these other things, other recipes rather. Think, you know, raspberry, think orange, think rum. All these things go well with chocolate. So enjoy chocolate anytime, and especially during the holidays. You got a couple of nice, simple things you can do and satisfy that chocolate craving. We've got to sign off, Chef Bill. Next week, looks like we got our champagne tasting coming up at Jake's on the. It's a week from this Wednesday. Mostly for buyers. Put out some good noshes there. We'll go over matching up some food with champagne next week on the when we get back at the table here. Get ready again for the holiday season. Chef Bill signing off. Talk to you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris
Ballas. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A former rival of the president-elect's has a warning about keeping promises made on the election trail.
If we're given the White House and both houses of Congress and we don't deliver, I think there'll be pitchforks and torches in the streets, and I think quite rightly.
Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas making that dire warning on ABC's This Week.
Because if we deliver on the promises, that's how we actually turn the country around, bring back jobs and raise wages for people that are hurting.
Cruz was speaking in response to questioning about Trump's apparent flips on some of his past promises, including not pursuing a prosecution of Hillary Clinton and possibly keeping some parts of Obamacare intact. Getting late word of a possible active shooter on the campus of Ohio State University in Columbus, there is a massive police presence on campus, and it appears police have a parking garage surrounded. This is USA Radio News.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shield yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details. Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu. But you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shield yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
There's good news and bad news in the forecast for southeastern states suffering from the worst drought in over 130 years. The good news is they're about to get significant rain for the next few days. But Randy Bell reports from one of those states where severe weather is also expected.
Mississippi is facing the threat of some strong storms.
Damaging winds are going to be the main concern. There is that potential for tornadoes as well.
Joanne Kulin at the National Weather Service office in Jackson says the first of the storms could move into western Mississippi early this afternoon, and there's more severe weather in the forecast tomorrow.
Some veterans very upset about the removal of the American flag at Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts. That from a Sunday rally there, where at least 1,000 veterans gathered to protest the flag's removal, the college taking it down after the presidential election results came in. This veteran says,
I would die for this flag. I fought for this flag.
This is USA Radio News.
There are three foods that may be killing you. These three commonly consumed foods are actually banned in many other countries and yet readily available in the United States and frequently consumed here. The big food distributors have spent hundreds of millions of dollars to try and keep this information a secret. Learn what these foods are and what they are doing to you by going to killerfood35.com. That's killerfood35.com.
President-elect Donald Trump talking tough about Cuba, tweeting that he might terminate the deal that opened a normalization of relations between the United States and Cuba unless certain conditions are met. And that's similar to what the man who will be his chief of staff at the White House said over the weekend.
In order for any sort of deal to take place, President-elect Trump is going to be looking for some movement in the right direction in order to have any sort of deal with Cuba. I mean, it can't just be nothing.
Reince Priebus speaking there on Fox News Sunday. Coincidentally, it is the first day of regular commercial airline service from the United States to the Cuban capital. Here's Scott Pringle with more.
Columbia political science professor Stephen Nerper jumped on the opportunity to get on this first JetBlue flight to Havana.
Interesting, just to see Cuba at this time before too much more changes. Of course, that's been intensified in recent days with the passing of Castro. Adds a whole new dimension to the trip. A lot of people will be in mourning or at least observing it, but it should be a fascinating time to be there on the cusp of history.
Some going for the cultural experience and others visiting friends and family. Now, JetBlue did cancel a flight kickoff concert here because of Fidel Castro's death. At JFK Airport, Scott Pringle, New York.
And to update some breaking news we mentioned moments ago, there is a massive police presence at Ohio State University in Columbus after reports of a possible active shooter on the campus. Cops currently have a parking garage surrounded. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. So we're going to take a look at today's weather. It is going to be mostly sunny with a high near 51 with light south winds. Tonight we're expected to see a chance of rain, mainly after 4 a.m., cloudy with a low around 38, calm winds. Chance of precipitation is about 30%, new precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Tomorrow we're expecting some rain and fog, high near 59, southeast winds 6 to 9 miles per hour, becoming southwest in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 100%. New precipitation amounts between a half and three quarters of an inch possible. And we're going to play a couple more messages before we start today's The Intern's News Corner. I'm Wyatt Nisinski.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure.
Led by our outstanding family medicine.
So dug all that out, and we'll rehash a little bit about it, but obviously there's new things happening over RVCC, so... what I like to do is just bring everybody in, get everybody situated as to their career and what your skills are and how and what workforce development is, and then we'll talk about the great new things that are happening at over at RVCC because of all the new development that's happening over there, including Mike McDonough is changing things left and right, so that's good stuff.
He is.
So let's start with you, Michelle. You are the Executive Director of Workforce Development. Can you give us a synopsis of what Workforce Development, that particular division of RVCC, is?
Sure. So the Workforce Development Division at Raritan Valley is the certificate and industry credential training portion of the college. And So a lot of the programs that we have there are really focused on getting individuals into work within 12 months or less and giving them the experience and the credentials and the employability skills they need to get there. And then once they're in the workforce, our professional development and corporate development really helps to either help them retain their positions or increase their earning power through professional development training courses.
Gotcha. It's so surprising. I love that Donna keeps bringing people over here. That completely shows you another facet of RVCC. So you folks have been doing this for a number of years, and we just went through probably the worst, what was it, the Great Recession,
The Great Recession.
So it'll be interesting a little later on in the show to hear how we've fared through that and how RVCC and the Workforce Development Program has kind of helped our two counties, Somerset and Hunterdon, through that the Great Recession. Joanne is sitting to your right, and Joanne, you obviously report to Michelle.
Yes.
So, how does what Michelle's overarching platform do? You take a specific piece of it. Right?
I do.
So how does that fit in?
So I work with corporations within Somerset and Hunterdon to provide training to upgrade the skills of their workers. I also work with local and state government to provide training grants and funding sources to help people who are either unemployed, get a certificate or gain some knowledge.
Right.
So we also do some foundational skills courses like English as a second language and high school equivalency. So we're really helping all aspects of individuals within Somerset and Hunterdon County.
So I'm a little confused by your trajectory. It sounds like there's two. It sounds like you work with the corporation to find the right people or to up their skills.
Correct.
Do you also work with the individuals who are outside of the corporation?
Correct.
Or is it, oh, okay.
So last year when I was here, I just had the corporate customized training division.
Right.
Within the year, I've taken over the professional development arm of the college, which is I run a number of classes in leadership, Microsoft Office and leadership, where anybody can come and sign up and take courses.
Mm-hmm.
So my one arm is dealing with the corporations, and the other arm is dealing with anybody within the community who would like to upgrade their skills.
All right, so you're getting it from you're taking on both sides of the equation,
let
we say. So I'm going to make an assumption, and if I made the wrong assumption, Michelle, you can slap me down. Is there another person that's taking another aspect of workforce development that's not represented here today?
There are. We actually have individual credential and industry programs that are run through workforce development, and they all have their own industry leader as the program coordinator and instructors, related instructors.
Okay. And do you want to dole out those people?
I can.
Right,
I can. So Conrad Mercurius is our program coordinator for our new advanced manufacturing credential program, and we can talk a little bit more about that later because that's really up and coming.
Right.
Jason Jones is our program coordinator for automotive and auto tech, and Marsha Bird is our coordinator for HVAC, heating and air conditioning. Cosmetology. And then Paul Floor does our heating and air conditioning. So
if you run the HVAC pretty quickly, you can blow dry hair.
You can blow dry hair. I apologize. But yes, Marsha Bird runs cosmetology.
All right. So Is that all part of your reorganization that you've set up?
You know, all of these pieces, parts, all the pieces that Joni just described, the pieces that I've described, are really coming under an umbrella of workforce development to really, really looking at a way to get kind of non-traditional paths, right?
Right.
So it's not just 2 years or a four-year degree, although we're very good at that, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's really creating another line of business, so really around what's needed in the industry and can be responsive to the industry in a real-time, flexible time.
Okay. So where Joanne is working on a kind of an overarching corporate point of view, it sounds like white-collar type jobs, right?
Yes.
These other ones are more technical jobs. Is that the way it's being divided?
That really is probably a great way of describing the delineation between the two. Not that we wouldn't do corporate training in an industrial environment if we needed it.
Sure.
But a lot of our industry credential programs are technical skill programs. Generally, people who like to work with their hands, who are really good at working with their hands and learn best that way.
Right. Okay. Statistically, over the years, I guess you've garnered some stats that show that this is the way you need to present your offerings. Is that right?
I mean, it is. So there was a Georgetown University study done several years ago, and really what it showed is that in New Jersey specifically, about 56% of the population is going to need a post-secondary credential by 2025 in order to really be on a career path that's going to provide a self-sustaining wage. Most of those programs are not 2 or 4 year degrees. The post-secondary credential is really about an industry certification or certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest need right now in Hunter and Somerset and in New Jersey really is looking at those technical skill areas, things
right.
like automotive tech and things like those that work in manufacturing, whether it be, and it's not the greasy manufacturing line anymore. It's an advanced manufacturing. It's a computer-controlled environment.
Right.
And so those real technical kind of both technical skills with your hand, but technical skills in terms of knowledge around computer systems have become really the in-demand jobs. And our manufacturers in the area are telling us they need the jobs filled and they can't find qualified individuals.
You know, it's interesting you bring this up because somebody asked me to help them with their son figure out how to get entry level into networking system administration. And I went poking around looking through the college's curriculums, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of schools that provide that hands-on acclimation to the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is there seems to be still a lot of academic work going on in many of the secondary schools, and then these folks go out to the workforce, and they're still inadequate compared to the on-the-job training.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I guess, where you guys fit in, right?
Absolutely. You know, 78% of employers will tell you they hire or fire an employee based on their employability skills, which comes with technical training, on-the-job training. So experience has become a very significant part of any kind of curriculum now, whether it be an academic or a technical track,
right.
In order to build that resume and gain that experience to be able to hold the job.
So typically, well, we'll get to that in a little bit, but what's the mission of, what would you say the mission is? Oh, she's got a mission statement and everything.
She does.
That's beautiful. All right. I'll just lead you down the garden path. So what's the mission of workforce development?
So quite frankly, our vision is to equip a workforce ready for today and prepared for tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, we're talking about being responsive to industry, and we really want to do that by creating a lifelong learning experience with those that come through our doors, right?
Right.
We want to create a highly skilled workforce through industry-driven training, what we've talked about a little bit, corporate partnerships, and professional development.
Mm-hmm.
Those three elements we know will create not only lifelong learners, but lifelong employees for to sustain our economy in this region.
Right. And so, Joanne, how does your division fit into that? Which part of that are you taking?
So I work on the corporate partnerships
right.
with the corporations within Somerset and Hunterdon
right.
and the professional development, really taking the employees in companies and bringing their skills to the next level. Correct. So that it opens up jobs. I mean, there's a whole – I also have our foundational skills. So we've got students in that, you know, want to learn on English as their second language and maybe get their high school equivalency. And then we show them our career and technical skills training. So it becomes a pipeline for them to come out with a sustainable wage and really grow. I mean, these are careers. These are really good careers.
Mm-hmm. What's hidden in your message – and we'll get to it right after the break, is that you don't necessarily have to have a college degree to be showing up here. Correct. Yet you're at a college campus.
Correct.
So I want to clear that up right after the break. But we're going to take a break. You're listening to Good Morning Hunter, and I have Michelle Barrancas here. I have Joan Ann Cafaro, and we're talking about workforce development. Hang on. You'll listen to Good Morning Hunter and HunterShipRadio.com. Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand, or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
We're back. You're listening to Good Morning Hunter and HuntingChamber.com. Michelle Barrancas is with me, Joan Ann Cafaro. And we're talking about workforce development. And before we took the break, I wanted to point out the fact that this is not necessarily for people who have a college degree or need a college degree. And that makes this a completely different distinction. So don't get confused that RVCC is the driver of it. And it's a completely different program. And the other thing I want to bring up during this segment, ladies, is I heard Joanne talk about the possibility of grants and funding for this type of stuff. So we're going to have to get into that, too, because corporations that are strapped for cash or cash flow may have a need, and I guess there's opportunities out there for them to fund it, right?
There definitely are.
All right, so we'll get to those two things now. So we heard the mission. So what's the best way that people or organizations get in touch with you, and then you learn what they need and place them appropriately in the programs?
So I think the first distinction I want to make is this is just another opportunity for individuals to get training. It doesn't necessarily mean it's exclusive of a 2 or 4 year degree. And actually, some of our programs award college credit at the end of them to path into a 2 year or 4 year degree.
So it's a 2-year.
Or include entrepreneurial skills training through the Small Business Development Center. So how do folks come to us? Well, folks come to us in a number of ways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of our pipeline comes from high school. You know, those that are looking for another path out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for, they're not quite sure what they want to do. They want to go into the workforce in a sooner way. They're better at working with their hands. And so this is another opportunity for Raritan Valley to meet the needs of the community. Because not everyone is right now or in the future, you know, that the same mind path in terms of an academic pathway.
Right.
The other piece that really, I think, feeds technical training is those that have been, as you referred to earlier, have been hit by the Great Recession.
Yeah.
And so there are those that either need to refine their skills or revise themselves or reinvent themselves in another career.
Right.
And so these, we work a lot with those that have been displaced out of current employment, those that maybe have had some difficulties previously in terms of holding jobs or keeping jobs or getting skills that they needed to keep a job. So we have a very varied and diverse, I think, student pool in workforce development that maybe is a little different from a traditional academic pathway. However, we are a community college, and so we really look to serve the needs of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we serve the needs of those individuals in addition to the needs of the employers. I mean, that's really how we base what we're offering to the community. What do the employers need? What do they need today? And what are they going to need in 3 to 5 years?
Right. And that brings up an interesting question, which is some would say, and it's probably a misguided notion, that academic institutions have been in the past out of touch with the needs of the business. So this is a completely different division that focuses on those needs. How do you learn that? How do you learn what's needed? Joanne, do you delve into that?
So each of our programs, our career programs, have advisory boards.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with the employers. We put together, 3 to 7 employers in the area, different sizes, small, medium, and large. And they dictate, they look at the curriculum. They tell us what they need in employers that they're hiring for entry level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are really the soundboard for all of our programs. So we know what they're looking for and what we need to provide.
Right. And you, she's,
sorry, I'm
coughing. That's all right, yeah. It's all choked up. So statistically, you start to find trends, right? We have the SEDS in Hunterdon County. Yep. I don't know what it is for Somerset County. And the SEDS in Hunterdon County has shown that we have a larger Hispanic population that's come here than we did, 10, 15 years ago. So there's the English as a second language, perhaps, need that's out there, right?
Yes. Yes. I offer 5 different levels of ESL for individuals from basic to a level 2B. And once they come out of level 2B, if they choose to go into college, they're ready to start an ESL program on the credit side.
Right. Now, did you learn that? How did you learn that you needed a English as a second language program?
Well, and, I do a lot in Hunterdon, and I do a lot with some nonprofits, and they have a large Hispanic population. I've had some organizations reach out to me to say, do you offer an ESL? So I knew that ESL was going to be an important aspect of our career programs.
So they're definitely reaching out to you because they're already starting to find the stress in their delivering their message.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right. What else is trending? What else are you starting to learn besides ESL that we need around here?
Well, I think industry-backed credential programs are really important.
What is an industry-backed credential program?
So a national organization, a national-known organization like a PMI for project management or, real estate, they don't want to walk away with a certificate that says, I took training at Raritan Valley. Mm-hmm. They really want to sit for an industry exam to say, yes, I trained at Raritan Valley, and then I sat, and now I'm PMI affiliated. So I really think that our training is going towards industry-backed credentials.
Okay. So my wife works at a private school, high school, and her curriculum is towards the ACTs and the advanced placement exams. So she goes, and there's an organization that creates the advanced placement exam, and she's got to somehow develop a curriculum to meet that exam.
Mm-hmm.
Not teach to the exam, but provide all the curriculum that will make that student effective when they take the exam. Same thing here? How do you get that information?
It's our industry partners that provide that information. What we've done is we have taken our industry partners in and developed curriculum in conjunction with them. So they provided us the expertise in terms of that's the credential that's valued by us, that's not a credential that's valued by us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we include them as part of the process. So what we do is, as part of entry into our programs, you go through an interview process which includes employer interviews. You go through a process which includes employers in the classroom telling you what is needed in the workplace and what to expect when you're in that profession, one of our career programs.
Right. And then, like I said before we entered this next segment, is there's businesses that are struggling. They're nonprofits who don't have a lot of cash flow, and yet they have this need. So how do we – you have to find two prongs of their solution. They got to give them training but find out a way for them to pay for it. How does that happen?
Yes. So there are a number of different grant opportunities. I'm currently doing an ESL program for a nonprofit in Hunterdon through the NJBIA, which is New Jersey Business and Industry Association, provides funding for businesses within New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
If they're working 20 hours or more a week, they can have training in basic skills, so math and verbal, and then they have Microsoft Office, so I can run Word and Excel all 2013 up to date at no charge to them.
Wow.
Yeah, and we can provide it at the college or we can provide it at the employer's site. It is really a great program that allows businesses to upgrade the skills of their workers without a large fee.
Wow.
Yes.
You're a find. You guys are a find, which is an issue because you have to dig to find you guys somehow. Mm-hmm. Are you finding that you have to beat the streets to tell people about your program?
We do. And when I tell them, they don't believe it's true.
Well, I'm having a little trouble right now, actually. So we might be talking a little later on because I might need some of this stuff.
Good.
So very cool. Michelle, you came in here a little earlier this morning and said there's a big move going on. What's happening?
There is. So we are excited. We are actually constructing on campus an $11 million, 47,000 square foot training facility specifically for workforce, corporate, and professional development on campus at RVCC.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking to house all the programs we've mentioned plus expand to what industry needs as we, you know, continue to talk to the region. We're looking at things like computer and IT and cybersecurity, utility and energy. Those are some of the pathways, some of the career pathways that we believe have a demand in this area and can lead to a career path of self-sustaining wages, jobs for people in Hunterdon and Somerset County.
So what's that building going to look like? You mentioned a couple of tech programs.
Mm-hmm.
And now I had the... I don't know if you call them your competitor or your sister's school. I don't know. I've been to Polytech a number of times.
They are our collaborator.
Your collaborator,
yep,
okay.
Absolutely.
So I've been down there and walked through, and they have all the needs and wants of anybody that if you go to the automotive, they got like every really cool tool under the sun under there, and it's hands-on experience, as you said. If you go to automotive now at this new building, what's going to be like? What's it going to be like over there?
So our automotive shop will have six lifts bays for automotive students. We'll be able to double the capacity of our program in terms of students that we can serve.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be able to bring in specialized manufacturing programs because of the space that we'll have. It'll be kind of state-of-the-art technology in terms of the computer systems and the diagnostic equipment that we're using in that particular program as well.
Wow.
And we really look at it as an extension of the Polytech's program. So we work collaboratively with them, and mm-hmm. so you know we try not to replicate as much as possible but create a continuum.
So somebody in Hunterdon County who is looking to break into a completely new tech industry or any industry that you folks provide, they could theoretically get their hands-on basic training from Polytech and then start moving in your direction.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a pathway that can be drawn from Polytech to RVCC and beyond if they're interested.
Very neat. And then what's your world going to look like over the new building?
Well, I'm excited because we're going to have new space for corporations to really come in and have meetings and industry events. We're really opening up. The size of the building is going to be, it's going to be unbelievable. We've got a lot of new things we're planning.
Mm-hmm. And I think you said it was the target is January.
As construction goes. We are tracking for January, and I'm sure we'll be at full capacity by the spring. Everyone will be invited to that open house when we have it.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Very cool. So right now you guys are over in a campus that I've never been to. Right?
We've actually moved out of Bridgewater.
Oh, you have?
We're all on the main campus
now.
Okay,
you and Bill were talking about
it
last year. Okay, so that all happened. So you're on the pristine campus of RVCC. But you're just not in the really cool facility yet, right?
We see it going up every day. We're watching it out the window.
All right, cool. You go in the middle of the night and you check out your office.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Good. So when you moved everything over there, you have everything going as we speak at the current location?
We do. The only two things that are still left at Bridgewater are our cosmetology program, because the salon is there, and our small business development center, Bill's area. Everything else has moved up. We've taken in our west building is our manufacturing lab. Mm-hmm. So we had a large area in the basement that has all of our equipment in it.
Okay.
And the automotive is up on 22 at a automotive shop.
Oh, okay. So you're actually off campus, but focused on it.
Exactly.
Very neat. Now, Michelle, you were talking about some new programs or a new program that's just kind of growing. What's up with that one?
So our advanced manufacturing program is I call it a toddler. It's about 18 months old.
Okay.
But it's a toddler that's incredibly skilled. We really started the advanced manufacturing program in response to a lot of small business employers in the area that said they couldn't find qualified entry-level machinists. And so we partnered with the New Jersey Community College Consortium and brought in these remote trailers to train individuals in high-tech equipment, but to become entry-level machinists. And through a grant we got from the United States Department of Labor over the last couple of years, we were able to grow a lab for CNC, computer numeric controlled machinists, which are in a significant demand in not only this region, but in New Jersey. So we are looking right now out of, we've had small boot camps where we can train people in a very short time in 10 weeks and get them into entry-level positions, making anywhere from $14 to $20 an hour. And a lot of times it's for folks who have been unemployed a long time.
Right.
So, you know, that's...
Which is
that's
still happening, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. It absolutely is. You know, and the beautiful thing, I mean, the advanced manufacturing program, I think, is an example, but because of the industry involvement we have in our programs right now, we have a 92% placement rate in employment for all the graduates out of that program. So they are all making somewhere between $15 and $23 an hour. They are all in entry-level career paths, which means they can continue training and they can continue to grow in that profession. And we have gotten some great feedback from all of our employer partners on the retention of those individuals that have come through our program.
Wow. It's just amazing. I don't people understand what work is going on behind the scenes to create this amazing organization to not only supply our situation right now, but you just talked out to 225, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
How do you get? Where are you getting those stats from? Those projections, and how are you starting to evolve your vision to meet that?
So we work really closely with locally the workforce development, the chamber, the Somerset County Business Partnership to really keep a finger on the pulse, and I will call it like the qualitative information, right? What are employers really saying they need?
Yeah.
And then we work pretty closely with the New Jersey Department of Labor and somewhat the U.S. Department of Labor to really understand what's behind those projections and those statistics, and what does that mean
for
not only New Jersey, but for Somerset and Hunterdon counties in New Jersey.
Right.
And, you know, there are some trends that work really well for us on a national level, and then there are some that we know regionally, like the advanced manufacturing. If you looked at statistics, it's not going to show up because a lot of them are smaller employers, and they don't show up on those statistics. So that's where engaging with partners become really, really vital so we can fulfill that need.
Neat. So, Joanne, I work in an organization, and I just listened to the radio. I heard about you, and I give you a call, and you come on down, and I really don't know where to start. What's the first thing that you and I are going to do to figure this out?
We're going to find out what your goals are and what you want to do. You know, what do you want to do with your career?
Mm-hmm.
What is your passion? You know, you find out what people's passion is, and working is not a job. You know, when you're doing what you love every day. So whether I have somebody who comes into my office who is unemployed and down and out, I guide them to, you know, the one stop to get a WIOA grant so they can get a $4,000 grant to take some training and upgrade their skills. You know, that changes people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get a certificate or an industry credential, and then they're back at work.
Right.
And then
sometimes it's just not that simple, though, and I'm not.
Yeah.
In terms of making the person you're speaking to figure out their vision, they've had so much bad luck and pessimism that they just can't get it. So you do all that individually, or you got other folks that are helping you, I hope?
So we have a couple people on our team
right back
at the college that help, but I do spend a lot of time one-on-one. Because when you have people that are down and out, just letting them tell you their story, you can pull things out. I mean, people have transferable skills from things that they've done throughout their career that they don't even know that they have.
Right.
So you really do need to sit and be one-on-one and tell them. A lot of people don't know the options are out there.
Yes.
They don't know about the NJBIA grants and the WIOA grants. I mean, there is funding available for people who need it.
Right. And are these onerous grant applications?
They're not. They're not very difficult. You know, they've changed a lot. You know, people come in and say, I did a grant years ago. I'm never doing that again. And I say it has changed. They've got the message. The state and the Department of Labor have really worked to streamline things and make it much easier.
And we've worked really, really hard on being the mediator for that, whether it be individuals or corporations. You know, we understand it's still a public system. And so there are steps that have to be gone through. So we really try to mitigate that as much as possible on our end. So, you know, it doesn't really put a burden on the individual or the corporation.
So is there kind of like a case manager is that what Joanne is?
You're
kind of what
at
you
them.
Do?
Yes.
You're the case manager. So everything. Well, I'm getting the sense of that.
Yeah.
So there's definitely an entrepreneurial spirit in the middle of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have one hat, right?
Right.
So somebody walking in, speaking to you the first time, there might be a trail of steps that have to take place, but it sounds like you're helping them follow up on each one of them.
Absolutely.
To get them where they need to go. How about the businesses? They just learned about this opportunity, and all of a sudden, there might be a relief opportunity to help them get out of whatever quagmire they're in, but they still don't know what they need. They might even know what they need, but they know they need something. How do you break down that? Because most of these small businesses, it's putting out fires every day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have to get past that, right?
Yep.
So what's your conversation with a business owner?
Really, you know, what issues are you facing right now?
Mm-hmm.
How can we help? Even explaining all the different training that we've done for other organizations and corporations in the area helps to get them, you know what? We're having a problem with Excel. I can't get spreadsheets on a monthly basis. Or, you know, we really need some dynamic presentation skills. So it's really having those conversations and letting them know what we have to offer. We recently launched a microsite, which is rvccworkforce.com, and it has some really great information about all of our programs and what we have to offer. So, you know, I tell people check out our website, or we have brochures to really get them thinking. You know, a lot of times they don't know what we have to offer.
That's what I'm trying to, delving into
yeah.
it. But I'm only doing is scratching the surface here. I keep uncovering peeling back an onion and I get another thing. So, So the owner says, "All right, I learned something. I can't pay for it. What's the same process? I got opportunities and grants."
Yes, well, the NJBIA, we can do a lot of different training. It goes from technical computer training to anything in the leadership. They have a communications verbal and nonverbal, which really encompasses everything you're really looking for.
Right.
So there is funding available, and we can make it happen.
Very cool. Which brings me to another question. So I just heard Joanne say we can make it happen. And Michelle, you told me where we've got a plan in place. We're looking at the strategic plan for the next 9 years. Where are you finding the people to help you to present this stuff? Where are they coming from? Because they got to be in training too, right?
So, you know, I think the opportunity that we have because of RVCC's history in the communities is that we have partnerships upon partnerships. And so we can't do it alone.
No.
And so for us, the chamber and the business partnership and even our partners at the state have been really helpful in helping us to think about how do we leverage what's in existence, right? So we have some grants available, but the public workforce system, the one-stop system, also has grants available. And so how do we use their staff and their opportunities for funding to help our students?
Right.
You know, how do we then use some of the policy decisions that have been made at the state level to really benefit us in terms of how we're promoting ourselves through some of those resources? So,
So
we're really leveraging all of those opportunities. You know, it really is almost the perfect storm for workforce at this point.
It
really
is.
You know, the reality is
you couldn't be in a better spot.
We need to train people differently because the economy and industry is requiring that. And so we need to think about how to do things differently. And so it's a lot of, you said the word entrepreneurial before. You know, we were interviewing recently for a position, and I said, you know, if you don't have an innovative entrepreneurial spirit, it's probably not going to be a good fit, because the reality is we're making this up as we're going. You know, not that we don't know what we're doing, but, you know, it's a new path, and it's a new line of business for the college, and it's a new way of thinking in a community.
Yeah. And then on top of that, where are you finding the curriculum deliverers? All these HVAC people, where are they coming from?
We're taking them out of industry, I'll tell you, and it's tough. It is tough to find really good qualified people, but our...
you got to go through your program to be able to...
I know.
It, right?
So we're really getting seasoned people that are working in the industry and pulling them in and then teaching them how to, you know, what classroom style they need. But really having that industry, you know, background really brings a whole different dynamic to the classroom.
Now, are they coming to you full time? Are they doing the classroom delivery part time and they're staying in the industry? Is it, what's the tendency?
It's split, really.
Split.
I mean,
okay.
Our program coordinators are full time for us, but it doesn't mean they don't still have their hand in industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then the folks that we are pulling in either to help supplement the classroom or provide teaching assistance are all have an industry background, and most of them still have their hand in industry. And that becomes really, really important to us in order to be able to be kind of cutting edge with our curriculum.
Right, right. All right, we're going to take another break, but I'm going to leave you at this. I heard statistically a person going in, it's high school right now, going to change jobs 11 times in their career, in their lifetime. So they have to redevelop constantly, which means what you guys provide is going to be even more valuable than it's ever been before. So we'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the future of RVCC's workforce development. You listen to Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamber.com.
Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies, supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon, Hunterdon.com. Michelle Baracus, Joanne Cafaro are with me for workforce development over in Raritan Valley Community College. And Michelle just hit me right between the eyes with a correction to my statement. She heard 27 changes to a person's career, and I did some quick math. She helped me with it, and it was about 1.5 years per location, which is insane. Then we did the quick analysis, and Michelle, why don't you tell me about the do-it-yourself economy?
Yeah, so there's really a trend to a do-it-yourself economy, and some of the statistics that I've seen, some of the reports that I've seen have said 52 to 56% of our economy is going to be a DIY, a do-it-yourself economy by 2025, which means